This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
This is World Wide Wave, Joy's international news and current affairs show. We're the ones that take you around the globe, one country at a time. Tonight, hello Dean.
Hey Matt, how are you going?
Paul's here.
Hello.
And a special guest in the studio, Sarah.
Hi.
In April last year, US Secretary of State John Kerry appointed the first ever Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI Persons. During his visit to Asia, Joy 94.9 was invited to join a select group of media to discuss LGBTI rights in Asia and the Pacific with this senior US diplomat.
What is the role of private businesses in advancing LGBTI rights?
What comes first, decriminalisation or anti-discrimination laws?
And is same-sex marriage in Australia seen as a driver of regional LGBTI rights? To view LGBTI rights in Asia and the Pacific from a United States perspective, tonight we bring you a special interview with US Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI Persons, Randy Berry. That's a lot of LGBTIs. And here's a taste of what you've got coming up tonight.
Joy.
These are all fundamental, inborn parts of the human reality that makes up the great diversity that we share as the human race. I think we're not breaking out this community for any sort of special consideration. We're working on this just to promote the idea that discrimination against members of this community is just as wrong as discrimination based on ethnicity or race.
Worldwide Wrap, LGBT news from around the world, scanning the globe for stories for the diverse gay and lesbian communities, from Australia's Joy 94.9. This is the Worldwide Wrap.
We're starting off in Latvia with Worldwide Wrap this week. A Valentine's Day escándalo.
Escándalo.
That's it.
That's not very Latvian.
Well, no, but I don't know any Latvians.
Just run with it.
Yeah, so it'll just have to do. Now, the capital city of Riga in Latvia introduced a very sweet way for couples to pay for their bus fare on Valentine's Day. I hope everyone had a nice Valentine's Day this weekend.
Yeah, pass. Yeah, back to Latvia.
So now couples could pay with a kiss to board buses run by the city's transport company. Isn't
now,
that sweet?
Let me clarify, because when I first read this, I'm reading it and thinking, what, the bus driver has to kiss everybody?
Lucky bus driver, or maybe not, depending
on... No, you actually kiss whoever you're with, and that allows you free travel.
That's it. But only straight couples. So gay people are scum and they're not allowed. That's pretty much what they said. Well, kind of.
Well,
they said...
You're paraphrasing, I think.
I am a little bit. The spokeswoman for the bus company said the initiative is only meant to support relationships established as traditional. There we go. Now, it turned out last year that it was very popular
That's
among passengers.
Outrageous.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think gay scum would have been a bit more upfront, really.
Yeah,
but,
true.
Anyway, so she said that hopefully this year couples will be using our gift just as actively as last year. So anyway, LGBT organisations resented having to stump up and pay for tickets. So Mazaika, a Latvian LGBT rights group, said it was going to go to the country's ombudsman with a discrimination complaint. So there.
Woohoo!
So,
and what happened? Bus company back down.
Well, yeah. No, they clarified their position.
It was taken out of context?
They said there was a big misunderstanding.
Oh, misunderstanding.
And that after a call by the member of the press, there was confusion. They said that I can confirm that the press release sent out to the media did not even mention the word heterosexual, much as discrimination against people with non-traditional sexual orientation. Distorted information was released, explained the PR manager.
By a former employee.
Well, it needs to be said, though, Latvia isn't exactly that gay-friendly for... It's Eastern European, so it's not, you know, it's not that great. But, yeah, they did back down, so we'll have to follow up next week and see if many gay couples took advantage of the offer.
Across to Peru now, where Peruvian police used water cannons to disperse a group of activists who staged an LGBT rights protest.
A kiss-in protest. What's
a
this
kiss-in protest?
Kerfuffle about same-sex kissing.
And we're talking about 24 people having a big pash fest, and they sent in the water cannons.
You can see the footage on our Facebook page. Indeed. W3Joy.
So it was captured on, and it's all over YouTube. Go to W3Joy.
Crazy! Like they've got the water cannons. The police are wearing their military gear.
They've got the armored trucks and everything.
It's out of control.
They're very scared.
It's like they had to spend their budget before the end of the tax year or something, or they wouldn't get a bigger budget next year. It's crazy. It's really weird.
The local LGBT rights groups have, of course, been outraged, calling the aggression excessive, and it was targeted towards young people who gather each year, so this is a regular thing, gather each year in the main square to kiss against homophobia. The local town mayor has previously spoken many times against LGBTI rights.
Over in Singapore, social workers have expressed that they feel ill-equipped to attend to clients from sexual minorities. A study published by International Social Work Journal found that 77% felt they didn't have the adequate skills to attend to LGBT issues. 9 out of 10 felt they didn't have enough training.
This is really interesting that there's two separate studies, two different. One was a group of university people and one was a counselling group who did two different studies. They both came up with almost identical results, so that's saying something.
What I thought was interesting is that the psychologist's social code of ethics in Singapore says that professionals should show, and I quote, sensible regard for the social codes and moral expectations of the host community, which is a sinister way of saying that, you know, homosexuality should be regarded in a pathological sense.
And in Singapore, they're not exactly, it's a fairly conservative society, certainly not pro-LGBT. The, again, local Singaporean counselling group, Ukuchuka, who we've actually spoken to before, have spoken out against this, calling for those codes to be equalised.
And just to put in some context, I believe that Singapore is still one of the countries that it is illegal, but they don't intend to act on the law any longer.
Very true.
In brief, a court in Malawi has ordered the police to resume arresting gay people in the Southeast African country.
The Italian Prime Minister has told the Catholic Church to stay out of the civil unions debate after the head of the bishops group suggested that a secret ballot should be allowed in the parliament. In Portugal, Portugal's parliament has overturned the presidential veto on a bill legalising adoption by same-sex couples, which means that the conservative president, in the most uncomfortable way, must sign into law the same-sex adoption bill before his term ends in April.
An out lesbian has been nominated to become the next Chief Justice of the Puerto Rico Supreme Court.
The president of Uzbekistan has said that homosexuality is a vulgar manifestation of Western culture.
And that's a wrap.
That's your Worldwide Wrap. Keep up with LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like us on Facebook, Worldwide Wave, or visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
Our guest tonight is US Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI people, Randy Berry, who has been on a tour of Asia and the Pacific, or specifically Asia this week. A message in off Facebook. Actually, we had so much activity last week when we posted that photo of us being quite silly in the studio for our 200th show. Great responses. Matthew says, it's just like an NGV installation. I'm not quite sure how to take that. And we had these big numbers, 200, but at some stage, they were bouncing around the room,
and they got backwards. On the
and yes, Greg says ooze? Question mark. So no, it's 200. So check that out on Facebook. W3Joy. Time for some fun fast facts.
Taking you around the globe, one country at a time. This is your fun fast facts.
We thought we might look at the rapid acceleration of LGBTI inclusion in parts of Asia. Now, China has actually made some progress. They repealed in the 1990s, 1997, in fact, their hooliganism law.
I love that word, hooliganism. The Russians use it as well. I love it. It's just it's so evocative.
See, if we repealed our hooliganism law, it'd have an impact on soccer, but no. Their repeal of the law decriminalised male homosexual conduct.
I cannot think of, looking at Joy, I cannot think of a, people who are less likely to be hooligans. So it just
kind of makes you want to be one.
The content, I know. Obviously, we're letting this side down. So yeah, that was a big change. It took them quite a while to actually, you know, make some changes in China, and that's not that long ago, really.
Moving into the noughties, Taiwan enacted laws against discrimination based on sexual orientation in employment in 2002 and education in 2004. And in fact, they're currently they've been debating proposals for marriage equality for the past few years as well.
And the court in Hong Kong recognised the rights of gay men to equality before the law and non-discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation in 2005.
Advances in rights for trans people have been found in Nepal, Pakistan and India, where they recognise a third gender.
Moving into the... I've called it the 20-teens. Is that right? What's that? What do you call the year between 2010 and 2019?
Tweens.
The tweens? The tweens. Pink Dot, which we've spoken about a number of times, which is this rapidly growing mass support for LGBTI rights. It actually began in 2009 in Singapore and has grown across a number of countries, including Hong Kong, right throughout Asia up to this year.
Yeah, in only 6 years, they've expanded exponentially.
Massively.
Huge. It's huge, definitely. There's been a landmark ruling in the Delhi High Court decriminalising consensual sex between men in India in 2009.
Before it was overturned.
Yeah, then it got overturned on a technicality. In the same court, the Supreme Court of India in 2013, and activists have been fighting to get that rescinded ever since without much success so far.
Vietnam had its first LGBT pride in Hanoi in 2012.
Mongolia had LGBT human rights included in its Human Rights Commission annual report in 2013.
Some rare good news in Australia. Discrimination protections were extended to intersex people in 2013. And, of course, across the pond, marriage equality, irrespective of a person's sex, gender identity or sexual orientation, was achieved in New Zealand in 2013.
They had to trump us.
We're just... the best.
We're still waiting.
We're getting better and better at falling behind. That's what Australia's good at.
And here's cheers to Nepal as well, who've brought in new protections for LGBTI people in their constitution in 2015.
Hello, I'm Micaela, the producer of El Hombre Nuevo, speaking from Uruguay for Worldwide Wide.
The role of US Special Envoy for Human Rights of LGBTI persons is a global responsibility focused on ending violence and discrimination against LGBTI people. Joy 94.9 was invited to be part of an international press conference from Thailand with Special Envoy Randy Berry as part of his Asian tour, which is taking in Taiwan, Vietnam, Thailand, and off next to Indonesia, South Korea, and Japan. Australia's Star Observer newspaper asked the first question, asking if Australia could lead the way in the Asia-Pacific region by legalising same-sex marriage.
You know, I think Australia already is providing a significant degree of leadership in the regional context, that we cooperate and collaborate with your government in a number of ways in international fora, whether that's in terms of policy support for a discussion on this in, you know, within the UN system or in regional organizations. But we're also beginning to see a greater degree of program collaboration, which I think really is going to be enhanced. As it goes to the issue of same-sex marriage, I know that's currently an issue of hot debate in Australia. You know, generally speaking, in terms of our policy priority, we don't really focus on issues of marriage equality. You know, that's a fairly recent innovation in the United States. And while we believe it goes to the very heart of progress towards equality, we think in most contexts, we're not working on that issue in an active way simply because the conversation we have to have on violence and discrimination in most parts of the world is a much more fundamentally pressing issue. Of course, you know, when a country takes that step and grants greater equality to its citizens in any form, we welcome that. Clearly, it's just not one of the driving portions of our agenda. Now, we obviously have just gone through this significant change in the U.S. I am married in the United States and I'm raising children, so I think, you know, this commitment is a very positive thing in terms of equality and welcome it. But ultimately, you know, the discussion that takes place in Australia is an Australian issue, you know, for the legislature or for the people to decide.
I wanted to follow up with the same-sex marriage question as well. I know you said the focus here is on other issues. What I'm wondering is, you know, given the progress with same-sex marriage in the United States, do you have any sense to what extent that's having a sort of positive effect in developing momentum in general for LGBT rights in this region.
Yeah, yes, I think it has. I think it's had an impact. I think that all of the progress that we're seeing globally in some way has an impact of one sort or another. You know, we live in, in an age where I think we have instant access to information. We have the ability to take a look at developments halfway across the world and examine them and see if there's an applicability where we're working. I think that there is a very positive contagion here of progress, and I think that's happening here in Asia just as it's happening in many other places of the world. Now, is the U.S. the driver of that through our own progress on equality issues? I think it's maybe a contributing factor, but in fact, I think the real story here is that there is a global movement underway, and it's not there because of U.S. leadership, never has been, but I think we are, in the United States, part of a global progress. And, you know, I think some of the greatest examples of leadership and progress in a really embracing way, in fact, have come from South America, for example, with great innovations that we've seen in Chile, in Argentina, in Uruguay, in Brazil, in Colombia, changes that we see that are taking place across parts of Europe. I think that the trends that I'm sensing already just in a couple of stops here in Asia is that, you know, that very much is enhancing the conversation here. And I really do believe we're working on an issue of global importance that is being nudged along by a very open and honest conversation. You know, in some of the more challenging environments globally where we engage, I often hear that these are traditional societies that we can't engage. These are taboo issues to discuss. And I really don't find that's the case. And, you know, this trip for me has been an eye-opener as well to travel in Taiwan, to travel in Vietnam, where these are also heavily traditional societies who are engaged in a national debate. And I think this has to be homegrown ultimately. I think there can be influence. I think there can be best practices that are accepted from other places. But I think ultimately it has to be a national dialogue that carries the day about what does equality mean? What does tradition mean? What does essential fairness and integrity of our constitutional protections mean?
Hi, this is Costa Gavrielides, the president of Accept LGBT Cyprus, and you're on the World Wide Wave.
Indeed you are, and we've received a message from our old friend 317. Great interview, what an inspiration. Who do you think should replace Tim Wilson as our new Human Rights Commissioner?
Ooh. Well, you know, it's one of those things, the only way is up, really. is that wrong?
Look, I heard him described on a conservative website yesterday as a classic liberal. I'm not entirely sure what they meant by that, to be
honest. Well, he's trying very hard to be a big L liberal running for federal pre-selection as well.
I think he would describe himself more as a libertarian than anything else.
So, in any case, I would love to see somebody like Justice Michael Kirby, not only because they are they have an international reputation, he knows the law back to front, impeccable character, you know, would be hard to go wrong, and, hey, gay boy.
Look, I like Justice Michael Kirby as much as anyone else on Joy, but I think that it should be someone a little bit more impartial politically, shall we say, which I think has been the problem with Tim Wilson's appointment, because it was just such a shamelessly political appointment.
I'm sure Ian Thorpe is looking for something to do.
Isn't he going out with an underwear?
Boyfriend?
No, he's going out with an underwear model. He's got plenty to do right now.
We've had a like in a story we just posted on Facebook where an anti-gay group attempted to shut down or attempted to have a go at an LGBT youth event. It actually backfired with $25,000 in donations rolling in.
Whoopsie. So minus Whoopsie. 18 are rolling in cash at the moment. So that's worked out well.
And that story we mentioned on Italy's parliament, basically telling, or Italy's president telling the Catholic Church to stay out of the debate. Greg's message in there saying, yes, maybe rather than getting your rosaries in a twist about this issue, you can instead spend the next 50 years cleaning up your own mess, then come back to us. Thanks, Greg. W3Joy on Facebook. Yeah.
So back to our interview. Having travelled to 39 countries in his role to advocate for LGBTI people, Special Envoy Berry has met with hundreds of government representatives, religious and business leaders, plus local media. Now, Japanese media asked him if he felt LGBTI equality leads to positive economic impacts.
I could give you a one-word answer on that, but I'll go beyond that. Absolutely, I believe that's the case. I think the private sector has an extraordinary role to play in a number of places around the world. And I think this is one of the great evolving stories of our time and our engagement on this particular issue. Our experience in the U.S. has very much been that businesses operating completely from a perspective of not just fairness, but integrity of their brands, profitability and productivity, realized long before government did that being embracing of diversity enhances your integrity. It makes your business stronger. You know, I think governments have been a little bit slower to catch up to that. So I'm really interested in looking at that model because I believe that that discussion is certainly taking place in a number of places around the world. And I see both multinational businesses and national business interests now taking a look at this very issue, not from a perspective of human rights and not from a perspective of just doing what's right, even though it is the right thing to do, but really because it goes to that very core of the business model. I believe that is the aspect of this conversation that really is in the ascendancy. I believe so firmly that this is an integral part of moving forward, the economic and business case.
I want to ask for your comments or evaluation on the situation of LGBT rights movement in Vietnam right now.
I am very excited about what's happening in Vietnam right now. What I saw there was a very clear story throughout all of my meetings, from government officials with representatives of civil society and also representatives of media that I interacted with there. And that is that there is a very open, honest conversation that's being undertaken. That requires the main stakeholders to engage freely and to just have a very open exchange of views. I think that goes to the very heart of how a democracy works. So, you know, when you have a press that is free and open and reports in an objective, factual way on issues relating to members of the community, when you have a government that is engaging civil society and is making a commitment to improving the lives and equality of its citizens, and when you have a civil society that is engaging in a constructive and helpful way with that trusted partner across the fence in government, that's a perfect recipe for great progress. I think Vietnam has taken some really important steps over the last couple of years. I believe work still needs to be done, but I would say that of any country. You know, I think we can never think that we have done enough to ensure the equality of our citizens. You know, that's a constant work, but I believe that Vietnam has the potential of being a real regional leader in terms of progress on these issues.
Thank you, Special Envoy Berry. Matt McDonald from Joy 94.9, Australia's gay and lesbian radio station. There's over 70 countries that currently criminalise same-sex relations. There seems to be a bit of a push to focus more on progress towards anti-discrimination laws rather than a focus on decriminalisation. Do you think that is a more palatable approach for conservative countries?
You know, I think regardless of how you prioritize one over the other, I think both are essential components, you know, because I guess, you know, which portion of that comes first? That I believe, you know, if we're talking about discrimination and there is a real commitment or a conversation about how to end that, that's completely inconsistent with the statute criminalizing consensual adult same-sex relationships. So I think those two are absolutely inextricably linked. I am deeply concerned. In fact, right at the core of our policy is an engagement on these countries. That figure is well north of 70, in fact. I think there's a key part of this conversation to engage with the government, whether that's through a process of broader legal reform or a discussion that's specific to these issues. You know, because the fact of the matter is that half of those countries that have criminalization statutes inherited them from the British colonial code. You know, about whether or not that makes sense to retain this kind of discriminatory legislation in 2016. So I think that conversation is being enjoined in a number of countries within the Commonwealth, but I think it's part and parcel of that same discussion about discrimination. You know, each country, I think, has taken a different route towards this discussion on equality and are proceeding at varying rates. For example, I can reflect in the U.S., you know, even though we have marriage equality, one thing that is still lacking is comprehensive federal non-discrimination legislation on this basis. So clearly we still have some work to do at home as well. I think we have to take gains where we can get them in any place.
That's U.S. Special Envoy for Human Rights, for the Human Rights of LGBTI Persons, Randy Berry, speaking to us from Bangkok last week.
Such an American name, Randy Berry.
It is.
Couldn't come from anywhere else on the globe.
He's got a very very positive negative. He sees lots of positive in things, but he always tempers that with there's so much more to do. You know, even for America, yes, we've got marriage equality, but we've got more to do on trans issues and things like that. So I think that's a good thing. It's not preachy. So quite often there's complaints from countries that, you know, the Western people come in and tell us what to do. It's not being preachy, which is a good thing.
It also gives a really positive outlook for everyone. So it's not all doom and gloom. You see that there are positives and then it's just realistic. So you keep going.
Exactly. And Vietnam there that he was talking about, which does have the potential. We keep getting these hints that they might be the first country in Asia to bring in same-sex marriage, but then it sort of goes quiet again. So there's this potential. And even just when we're doing fun, fast facts, the real quite rapid acceleration of acceptance for LGBT people. Long way to go, but it really only started around 2000-odd, when it sort of became a bit of an issue, and there's some countries that have made some fantastic progress in that time.
I thought some of the interesting points he was making about the effect on the economy, like most of the stories we've heard from the US have been marriage equality will be great because we'll get more money from gay marriages, which seems like a bit of a weak argument, though they do reckon there'll be $50 billion over 3 years.
We'd just buy more wedding cakes or something.
Yeah, yeah, well, precisely. More flamboyant weddings or something.
I'm getting married in the States and we're not spending that much money. Yeah. So we do it over here, but unfortunately we can't.
It is an interesting way of challenging people's thinking, because if they're so caught up in the moral arguments, you know, coming at them, and I'm thinking probably for an American sense, you know, some of the Republicans are very, financially based, if you like. So this is sort of a different way of approaching the argument, different way of opening up the discussion.
It's because the Republican Party has the objectivists on one side and they've got the religious right on the other side. So, and never the twain shall meet. So the objectivists are all about, ooh, yeah, get that cash happening, and the libertarians would like it. But, you know, the religious right, they just will not have it.
The pink dollar does have its say or sway in some areas. Whether you believe in the pink dollar or not, people do consider it is useful.
And sometimes, look, the gay community takes advantage of that as well in, you know, getting sponsorships and things like that. I don't think I quite got the answer I was looking for on the question that I asked there about, well, what comes, you know, what's the better approach in terms of anti-discrimination laws or decriminalization laws?
Then he's the perfect
sort of
politician.
Saying both. Yeah, yeah, you need both. Well, which comes first? And I guess picking up on some of the discussions we've had with Kaleidoscope when they've been on, sort of really saying they see anti-discrimination laws as a way in some of these countries, again, where there's quite a conservative approach. You know, I wonder if that sort of thing might work somewhere like Singapore, we were talking before, whereby you talk about equality, you talk about anti-discrimination rather than decriminalisation. Maybe we'll have to write to them and see what they say. Messages coming in as well. Great choice with Justice Michael Kirby. Tim Wilson, he's a far-right-wing libertarian trying to be moderate for pre-selection. He's the gay nephew Bronwyn Bishop never had.
Are we sure that she never had him?
I don't know. We don't know. Marsha Langton is the choice, is another choice. She's a leading Aboriginal scholar.
Want to hear more? Find out about LGBT life in over 100 countries. Download free podcasts of this show. Subscribe to iTunes or follow us on Twitter. Visit joy.org.au/worldwidewave.
This is Tiseke Kasambalas from Human Rights Watch, South Africa office on the World Wide Wave.
A message in Mardi Gras is a great showcase of the pink dollar in action, coming up in a number of weeks. And I can tell you that not only is Joy doing a live broadcast, but we will be the live feed on the Mardi Gras website.
Because you're a Sydney transplant, aren't
you? I am. I know all the goss. So tune in for that one, Mardi Gras live right here on Joy 94.9.
So Special Envoy Berry is openly gay and married with two children. Indonesian media spoke of the challenges of achieving even the most basic rights for LGBTI people in the world's largest Muslim country. Their media asked if there was anything that Indonesia could learn from the USA to generate greater acceptance and equality for their LGBTI community.
I haven't traveled in Indonesia yet, so I need to really get there and have an opportunity to have a few meetings and to develop a broader sense of the situation there. But if I can answer in slightly broader terms, I think there are a couple of key issues. You know, that we're talking about processes and national discussions that are underway. I don't think in any country that simply allowing a person to live freely and be the person that they have to be is in any way a threat to anyone else. In fact, I think that enhances a country's ability to empower all of its citizens. I would say that in a global sense. And that's not just an American perspective. You know, I think that's a global reality. Are there lessons from the American experience that can be helpful? You know, maybe there are a few, but I think the essential thing to keep in mind here is that in each place, you know, where this discussion is developing, it has to take into account all of the local views, local context, to simply engage in an honest conversation. I don't think it's necessarily possible to lift an experience from one country and plant it in another, simply because the, you know, all of the elements that make up a society are not there. I think, though, in a place where we need to have a conversation at a very fundamental level is really just about what equality means. And again, I think, you know, I'm going to draw this back to the U.S. experience. At the very founding of our country, there's a phrase in our founding documents that states that we believe that all men are created equal. Except, of course, in the late 1700s, when those words were written, they didn't really mean that as we understand it today. That the challenge and the promise, I think, of my country is that we have gone back and taken a look at what does equality mean at several points in our history. You know, whether you look back to the women's equality movement in Seneca Falls, you know, whether you look at Selma, Alabama and the march towards civil rights and what does it mean to be equal on the basis of ethnicity or race, or if you go back to the Stonewall riots, which were the beginning of the LGBTI movement in the United States. Those are not unrelated issues by any means. These are all fundamental, inborn parts of the human reality that makes up the great diversity that we share as the human race. I think we're not breaking out this community for any sort of special consideration. We're working on this just to promote the idea that discrimination against members of this community is just as wrong as discrimination based on ethnicity or race.
That is U.S. Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI People, Randy Berry. We're just chatting off mic there about the LGBTI, because it is a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And
LGBTIQ?
LGBTIA, you can put alternative and I forget what the other A was, I've seen as well. You know,
I've seen
is
an X in there as well.
An X?
What does the X stand for?
The X Factor, maybe.
He puts his hands up and shakes his shoulders. Very good on radio, really, that is.
But the challenges of, and I guess if we put ourselves in the shoes of somebody like the US Special Envoy communicating this to people, you know, surely there's an easier way than LGBTQ, you know. It's kind of marrying up, it's that walking that line of being inclusive of what we call the gay community, but also being clear enough in being able to explain that to people and explain why it's not a threat or why gay people shouldn't be bashed up and all those sorts of things.
So we need an adjective that's not divisive or too threatening.
Because gay is actually too limiting for most for a lot of people.
But queer is a bit, you know, it frightens a lot of ladies. So we need something a bit, maybe some, I don't know, some other word.
What joyous?
Yeah, I don't think the Christians would like that. No. I think they'd feel like we were definitely raining on their parade.
We should also mention the US Special Envoy there did have a meeting with the Vatican, not with the Pope, but with the Vatican. And it's actually the first, I guess, high-ranking LGBTI discussion between the Americans and the Vatican. It was described as being very much based on the diplomatic briefing, so it was a fairly structured discussion based on agreed topics and things like that. And
you mean they just discussed the weather, did they?
No, I'm sure that wasn't the case. Certainly there were mentions in several media that Pope Francis had recently been to Uganda, who have had very harsh anti-gay laws. So perhaps it would be very hard for the church to endorse violence against gay against anybody. So perhaps that's a way of sort of opening the door. Special Envoy Burry said he was in listening mode.
Well, when Pope Francis went to Uganda, he disappointed LGBTI activists because he didn't actually say anything about their situation.
That's right. It was silence, wasn't it?
Silence means assent.
Special Envoy Burry sort of sees this as a first step, a first dialogue that, you know, not expecting any collaborations or anything, you know, concrete actions to come out of it, but a first step to open the door with the Vatican.
Well, we did have that story last week where the Vatican was tried to be, or the Pope tried to be quite inclusive, and then the language got washed out and got restricted. And
in fact, one of the messages on our Facebook page, W3Joy on Facebook, which was the story from Cuba where the Pope and the Patriarch Kirill of Moscow, the Russian Orthodox Church, released their joint statement which condemns same-sex marriage. Greg says, in bed with the Russians, there goes any false hope that the Catholic Church was going to get progressive on this issue. Bring on Pussy Riot. Thanks for that message, Greg. You're on World Wide Wave, Joy 94.9.
Receive LGBT news from around the world throughout the week. Like World Wide Wave on Facebook now.
Hi, this is Tara from the Fiji Women's Rights Movement on the World Wide Wave.
A big thank you to our guest tonight, US Special Envoy for the Human Rights of LGBTI Persons, Randy Burry. You can find out more about what he is doing around the world at state.gov, the website state.gov.
And a big thank you to all the people who messaged or interacted with us on Facebook. So Brian, Douglas, Christine, Lillian, Kawaki, plus a heap more. That's W3Joy on Facebook. Thank you to everyone for your SMSs and emails. And thank you to lovely Gordon at the front desk, as always.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.